Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, hey, we're live here on the Hard Count Friday night. Don't do many of these shows. I got Saul with me tonight, too. Extra bonus, Saul got some internet.
Yeah, finally. Jeez, I've been living in the Stone Age or something.
Unbelievable.
You'd add me on Skype and it'd disconnect 30 seconds later. So
Unreal, so there'll be no more awkward pauses, hopefully. So we're going to do a special call-in tonight. You guys can call us at 323-843-6059. I don't know how many of you are up right now. I'm barely awake myself, so we're going to call one of our buddies, Phil, up, give him a buzz, and he does a local radio show here as well, more of like a rock platform. So We're going to jab it up, talk some sports with them guys. He wants to talk about hockey. We want to talk about hockey. We'll have a good little show. I'm going to give him a buzz here in a few minutes. Saul, you got any big topics you want to talk about tonight?
What, on the hockey note or what?
Well, we can go on any note, really. I mean, I kind of it's hard to, you know, stay with the football once your team's out, but, I mean, we'll jab it up a lot about that this weekend.
I mean, obviously the big, you know, yeah. Super Bowl starting on Sunday.
Yeah,
you
we'll
know,
preview
you
got, all that on Sunday.
We got all the annoying headlines that they create during the, you know,
the
2 weeks that they have of nothing to do but try to make storylines.
I know, it's unreal how many how much stuff goes on in the couple or the one. It really, it boils down to this 1 week.
Yeah, they get media day going on and they start asking silly questions. And, you know, they did the Harbaugh thing today on ESPN where they're right next to each other. And you got, you know, media people trying to make a name for themselves by all of a sudden, you know, diming everybody out for doing performance enhancing drugs or whatever they're taking. You know, Ray Lewis is, you know, you can't watch ESPN without Ray Lewis being the basically the headline of everything, whether it's good, bad, whatever. You know, and then you got Monte Teo's gay boyfriend who fell in love with him or whatever going on.
That's unbelievable.
Wow,
I don't want to talk about that. I beat that to death.
Yeah, then you got NBA going on. You know, neither one of us are big NBA fans.
I know it's sad, but you know, sad but true. I'm only a fan.
I'm with you. I'm probably more into hockey than I am NBA. I mean, obviously a small minority, so. But hockey's kind of a dying breed. But you know, if you want to hit a little hockey, I mean, I guess
so
your Bees are doing pretty good. Old Boston Bruins, 5-1.
Yeah, they're playing good. They're playing good hockey, man. You know, it comes in waves. I'm actually shocked that the Bruins are stuck with their team. Bruins in the past, ownership, every time, you know, the strikes are going to go on, they usually release a bunch of players and start over from scratch. But this year they kept it intact. I think they got a legitimate shot this year.
Yeah, you guys got a really good core. And, I know Tim Thomas is doing his thing, whatever he's doing, but, you know, Rask is a good, real good goalkeeper you guys got.
He's wicked good.
He's probably better than Thomas is at this point in his career anyway.
I think so too. Thomas, man, talk about a guy. I mean, Tim Thomas is a story, man. A guy that had it all and screwed the pooch.
Yeah, I mean they won the Stanley Cup, and then he makes the big deal about going to the White House.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, it just turned ugly from there. Like,
yeah, I don't know
I
what
mean,
he was thinking.
You know, like,
it just doesn't make any sense.
My point on that is, I mean, if you don't agree with what the president's whatever, who cares? I mean, just go to the White House and do the ordeal and get on with it. Like, be an adult, you know, like just go like accept the fact that the president's going to give you guys a little congratulations and, you know, take a tour of the White House and get on with your day. Like, what's the big deal?
Yeah, it was a shame. It was really embarrassing. Just totally uncalled for, completely ridiculous. It didn't really make any sense to me. He had no platform. It was just, I don't think anyone agreed with him. It pretty much, he committed career suicide is what he did. It was just lame, and, you know, we're better off without him anyways. Tuukka Rask is younger. He's going to be a great goalie for years.
Oh, yeah. You guys, he's one of them young, up-and-coming goalies right now in the NHL, so... He's going to be good. You guys got a pretty good line, you know, Bergeron and a few others.
I really want to try to get these other guys on. So what I want to do, because we're going to talk about my big topic to them was going to be, you know, I've been talking all week about marketing and the NHL and what I think is wrong. We talked a little bit about it today, Saul. I really do. I think it's all location, location, location with – the NFL, NHL, with the hockey league, and
that and the TV, the lack
you know,
of a major TV thing. You know?
I'm gonna tell you, man. I don't want to go way into it, but to me, it's the same thing as if the NFL expanded over to England. Like, really, it's not the culture there. It's just not gonna work. They're not gonna get the fans.
Yeah,
and it'd be a nightmare anyways, that logistically. But you get my point. So let's hit a couple songs, at least a song. I know it's quick, but let's take a really quick one, and hopefully we can get a hold of Phil and the other guys on the show, and see if they want to talk a little bit of sports with us. So we'll be right back. Hang tight, and you're listening to Hard Count.
Oh, did you?
Yo, hey, we're back. No luck getting a hold of our buddy there. So we're just going to continue on for a few minutes. Right now we've been discussing during our break the Ray Lewis and the deer antler spray. And, you know, technically it's illegal, but is he really cheating? It's just used to help you recover, your recovery time. I agree with you, Saul, what you were saying. I think that they're being too strict.
I mean, that's the thing. What's the difference between somebody taking deer antler spray and me and you going to take like a natural herb to get better from being sick? We're boosting our immune system naturally. These guys are basically, you know, just taking a natural substance to, you know, regenerate quicker. They're not technically. He's not taking steroids. He's really probably not taking anything that's even harming his body. Probably not doing anything that's actually.
What does it matter?
That's what I'm saying.
What does it matter to his own body?
They put banned substances on there. You know what? And
it should just be steroids.
Steroids, even HGH. I don't know enough to know if there's any side effects to HGH. I haven't done all the research on it, so I don't know anything. But I don't even know if there's anything wrong with taking HGH as far as like a long term effect on your body, besides for you being able to basically, you know, regenerate, you know, muscle faster. Be fast, stronger.
Here's my thing with
stronger, basically.
HGH and steroids, my thing is we don't really want these guys to get bigger, stronger, and faster, to be honest.
Right.
They're pretty, you know, superhuman as it is. But all this other stuff, like, if they really want to take Adderall and, like, you know, to help them concentrate more or something, and then deer antler spray to – I mean, this is their – It's
See,
their
the,
own life. I mean,
thing is,
seriously.
Yeah, the thing is with the deer antler spray is I think the part of the reason why that's banned is I think it's almost similar to – it has some of the same components that HGH has in it, which is why it's banned.
Okay, but here's my thing. Don't you want as an NFL, as the marketing company, as it's a business, don't you want your best players back as soon as possible?
Yeah, no,
seriously.
I don't know. Can that deer antler spray? I mean, if they're building antlers fast, can it also be used as, you know, building muscle and stuff like that? So I don't know if it can also have some effects towards like, you know, building.
I think it rebuilds like degeneration and stuff from what I was understanding and when they were explaining what it does.
We should get our licensed doctor on here and tell us what they're.
Seriously, I mean, you know. It's just ridiculous.
You know, speculating
it's stupid.
Now.
It's dumb. It's been going on for years.
Yeah, you know, and really Adderall is no different than, you know, players taking greenies.
You know, I think this is a huge grudge match. You know, there's I'll be honest, man. A lot of people think that ESPN needs to really think long and hard about bringing Ray Lewis on as a broadcaster. I mean, they really ought to think about it. They really ought to really do a lot of thinking
about what they should bring him on.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't think they should bring him on as a broadcaster. And I'll tell you, dude, my thing. I mean, you know, I don't know him personally, but my thing is there's a lot of people out there, dude, that he discusses. I mean, let's be honest. They don't know everything. I don't know everything. I don't even know the guy. Maybe he is a great guy. Maybe he really didn't have anything to do with anything, but. The fact of the matter is, it's never been closed, the case of the double homicide and this deer antler spray. I feel like they're just, you know, this was sparked by people that are trying to get back at him.
Yeah,
they're trying
to
get him on something, dude. I think a lot of people, when reality sets in, they like his story, but I think most people, the average American. Average person in the world is having a hard time overlooking, like, damn, dude, like, there's a lot of question marks with
I'm one side of me, I'm just like what you're saying there. One side of me, I kind of think Ray Lewis, my personal opinion is I think Ray Lewis was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I really don't think he actually committed murder. I think it's kind of what he comes out and said, you know, and this is what he came out and said. Basically, I was young and hanging out with the wrong people.
The wrong crowd.
And I just got in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, hopefully that's true. You know, I want to lean to say I think that's probably more what happened. But then again, you know, that's just my opinion. And everybody can have their own opinion. My opinion is I think he was at the wrong place. He was still there. Something still happened, and the case is still open. So it's still an awkward.
Yeah, my thing is the weirdest parts of these is, from what I understood out of the thing, and I remember it was somewhat of a big deal when it was spoke about that, you know, it was his, like, longtime sweetheart or girlfriend, and he didn't even attend her funeral or nothing. That's weird, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, that's a weird thing, right?
No, yeah. You know, the whole thing was weird. I mean, it's, what, you know, it's like 10, 12 years ago now.
Yeah,
you
know, I know.
It's still.
It's always going to surface for him.
You know, you still have these people who say Ray Lewis is basically a murderer. Okay,
hey, what happens now? Let me ask you a question now. What happens now? Let's say he wins the Super Bowl. He goes out, and let's say, you know, he does his ESPN game. What happens if he comes out and just can't take it anymore? And it was all a lie, and he comes out and admits it. Is he still going to the Hall of Fame? Seriously, you know how America is. Look at Pete Rose. Pete Rose got screwed. He even bet on his own team. Like that. What happened to Pete Rose is a disgrace.
See here, it'd be so hard because see that's the thing. Like,
what's gonna happen?
Yeah, I know you're kind of.
Let's
like
say he comes out and says, "I took deer antler spray and I killed my girlfriend."
And he gets convicted
and he goes to prison.
If you're looking at the Hall of Fame.
Are they going to put a convicted killer in Hall of Fame?
Probably not, but should
is that
they?
Right, though?
They should.
Yeah.
I also think that the more and more I look back at it, I also think Barry Bonds, and I think the more and more I look back, I think they need to put everybody in the Hall of Fame. Everybody was using steroids in that era. Whether it's right or wrong, it was basically a level playing field because everybody was doing it. It wasn't like he was the only one taking it, and he was just that good, and then he was also taking steroids. He was still better than everybody if everybody wasn't taking steroids. Now, Pete Rose, see, the thing with Pete Rose is I understand, you know, they got the baseball, you know, the baseball law, you know, rules, the unwritten rules, the gambling. But he gambled as a manager, not as a player.
And he gambled on his own team.
Which is idiotic.
Like, but, he bet on his own team to win.
And he always bet him to win. I read the whole book on him. I read his whole book.
I mean, yeah, me too. So, it's just, you know, he has a new reality show as well. It's really great. It's super funny.
Oh, really? I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's just hilarious. He is, you know, he's marrying his, you know, that key. I want to say her name's Kiana. It doesn't matter. And they live in LA, outside of LA, and it's just super funny. He coaches the baseball camp with the kids, and you know, he brings it up a lot, man. Like, you feel for the guy. It's like, wow, man. I really believe all around, all American, all around, Pete Rose was, dude. He was
Charlie Hustle,
the greatest American baseball player, I think.
And here's the thing. I mean, I never got to watch him play. But just from what I read, what I've read in his book, what I've read, I've, you know, done my own personal research on him.
Clips and stuff.
The guy worked harder than everybody. He wasn't just a natural talent like Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr. This guy, I mean, obviously he had to have a lot of natural athletic ability to be an athlete like that. But he wasn't just like – it wasn't like it just came completely natural to him. He busted his ass to get where he was. He wasn't even supposed to make
–
he was supposed to be like a – kind of like a nobody, really.
Yep.
And he came in, and he did his – you know, Charlie Hustle, man. He sprinted out every play. You know, I think even till the day he retired, the day before the last game he played, I think he probably – he sprinted out everything. He hustled everywhere he went. And at the beginning of his career, you know, even in his book, they talked about it. You know, the older veteran players, like, kind of, like, looked down on him. Like, he was trying to show him up or he was trying to, like – you know, and that's just the way he played. He played that way his whole career. People don't play that way. Even back then, they didn't play that way. You don't see people just run out every play. He hit it to the pitcher and you sprint it out. People don't do that. And he just played the game at a different way. And, you know, it's just a shame that he's not in. It's a shame that he's not in the Hall of Fame when he's probably arguably the great. He's definitely probably the greatest hitter ever.
Oh yeah, but the big thing for me with him too. Another big thing with Pete Rose was, and I don't know, you know, a lot of people probably, you know, we're talking about something way in the past, but you know, it's still, to me, it's important because Pete Rose, like, he represents, he was like the last great, in my mind, baseball player because of he loves baseball. I mean, just even watch him on that show, he does those kid camps and pretty much for nothing, you know, and he just loves baseball. He loves teaching it. He like even rattles off statistics and stuff all the time. He's just, you know, guys in the baseball don't do that. These guys aren't the same anymore. If he didn't get paid, he would still have done that as a profession.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah.
He's like one of those great, like, old school baseball players, and we don't have that anymore, and that's why baseball sucks right now. Baseball's awful.
It really does.
Baseball's,
you know,
awful right
now. You
know
who's kind of similar, and you know, he kind of comes across as talking, or, you know, and I don't know that well, but Bryce Harper is kind of like a – kind of like that. You see him always sprinting out every. But yeah, you don't see. I mean, a lot of. You know, I don't even know why people play baseball anymore. If you look at it as kids don't want to play baseball anymore.
They're all
going
to play football now.
Your boy doesn't. You know, I know you said Brady doesn't like baseball. Like,
no.
You know, your son doesn't like baseball.
He plays it. He you know, he did good, but he just, you know, he's bored.
I think soccer is more popular than baseball with kids now.
Yeah,
like soccer,
it's really sad.
Football. Like, you know, basketball. Yep. I think it's too boring. Like, we live in an age, even kids now, everything happens fast. You're always, you know, like, kids now are, you know, even if they're not doing stuff, everything's, we're just in a faster world now, and baseball's slow. It's just getting left behind.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it doesn't help that you have really, really, I mean, Major League Baseball did it to themselves. They just defaced their name. They raped themselves of all that they had left. I mean, they really did themselves a disservice.
Well,
I mean, attacking players like Roger Clemens over and over again. It was just like, enough's enough, man. Like, nobody cares. What are you guys doing?
And then baseball still lives by that, you know, the good old boy type thing. Everybody in all the owners are like 70. You have no young blood in baseball. You have, like, everybody's old. Mm-hmm. They won't put in instant replay. They won't adapt to the times.
Right.
Like, you have all these old owners who are, like, 60, 70, 80 years old. You know, they're the ones making all the rules, running all the leagues. You got, you know, everybody who has anything to do with baseball, like how it's ran is, like, probably 60 years and up. They won't adapt to the times. They won't adjust the league. They won't.
No salary cap.
You know,
it's just
not
a
trying,
nightmare.
You know, they're not trying to adapt the league to make it more marketable either.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not marketable to be, it's terrible marketable sport to begin with. It's boring. It sucks on TV. We're in a TV world now. Everything has to be able to be watched on TV. Baseball sucks on TV. So, you know, and they're not doing anything to try to make it more exciting.
Well, they,
you know,
need
what?
First of all, they always needed to start, one, by putting a cap in, two, by, they got to expand the playoffs. It's boring as hell. I mean, barely anybody makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, really, yeah. I mean.
And even the expansion they did was a joke. It's a one-game playoff
one
now.
Game
I mean,
playoff?
One-game playoff sucks. It's like, so you play 162 games to a one-game playoff. It's,
yeah, they're
like,
just not doing anything to help themselves. They're not creating any Cinderella stories. They're just, look, everything's going down the tubes right now. Like.
You know, by the time you play 162 games, by the time you get down to the last month and a half of the season, there's really only five or six teams that are even still in it. You know, you got the teams leading the division, two or three other teams in the wild card contention, and if your team's not there, why do you even want to follow it? Like, if, you know, I mean, I'm a Mariners fan. They're 20 games out by June, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
so your season's done. You're like, oh, that's cool.
Watch July, August.
And you just wait till the preseason of football starts. I think the preseason of football gets better ratings than any baseball game on TV. I think the World Series, it was awful this year.
Oh, yeah. The World,
I mean, I don't even know what happened. That was a terrible World Series.
They compare the best baseball games, like, not even close to, like, a Sunday afternoon football game.
Oh, like, no, a not Sunday even after, camping.
A Sunday after, dude, Kansas City and who else? Some what other one another crap team you want to say? Kansas City and like Arizona Cardinals could be playing one of the worst games you could think. You know, Jacksonville, San Diego, you know, something garbage would get a better rating than probably a World Series game would. Like,
oh, absolutely.
It's just a joke. Like,
if the Kansas City Royals and the Kansas City Chiefs were playing, and the Royals were in the playoffs, and the Chiefs, it was just their regular game, like week five or something.
The Chiefs would crush them.
The Chiefs would have way more fans. They'd make way more money, and their ratings would be way higher.
And that's, honestly, the only thing baseball needs to do is, I know when baseball was booming, it was, you know, when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds were crushing home runs. We've talked about this before. It made it exciting. People want to see action. People want to see, you know, and home runs are really the only exciting thing in baseball. You know, you can watch I watched a perfect game live. It was exciting. Don't get me wrong. It was great to watch live. But you know how boring it is to watch a perfect game on TV?
Oh, jeez. I know. That's
like it was different because I was live at the game. But, I mean, I'll admit, I can't watch 9 innings straight of baseball.
I feel like the
perfect game, I couldn't watch it.
I'll tell you what, Saul. I feel like that the baseball ownership and the old school guys that we're talking about that won't change, they're trying to – basically their stance is – baseball is for sophisticated sports fans. Well, it never was about that. It was always about those kids that are playing stickball in the alleyway, you know, in the streets. They were becoming their idols and stuff. It was always baseball was always a blue collar American, red blooded American sport, and
yeah,
it's changed,
yeah.
Man.
It's America's pastime.
Gone, dude. It's not even.
Yeah, baseball really got hurt once TV became big. Once everything became televised, that literally ruined baseball. Baseball was great when you had to go to games.
I'll tell you what, baseball was great when you had to go to games. But the beginning of TV and even I'll tell you what, baseball died when steroids happened. They destroyed the game. Just think about the heroes. I used to love watching baseball on TV, dude. Lenny Dykstra, he was like my favorite for the Phillies. Just think Mike Schmidt. Think about Wade Boggs. All these players. It was just amazing. Roger Clemens when he was young. Nolan Ryan. I mean, these guys were amazing to watch on TV. I mean, even like Kirby Puckett. Remember that? And the Twins. It was like,
yeah.
It was just awesome. The Braves had how many years? I mean, they were just dynamic. It was awesome to watch all these teams. Dude, it was amazing. They had so many good teams. I mean, Andre Dawson, there was just so many good players. And now, I don't know that I can name like 20 players like I just did, no problem, that were amazing, that are amazing.
Well, you know, that's part of what I just hit on a little bit ago. You know, people just aren't, the kids aren't playing baseball anymore. Like,
well, the baseball players, there's all this. Dude, it's all this money, I swear. I'm telling you. All this hundreds of $200 million contracts, they've ruined the game. They're making it – they already did. They made it about money instead of what it was.
Yeah.
It translates on TV. Americans are so intense on, like, that underdog story that, you know, that's why they rooted for the Oakland A's, like, you know, Moneyball.
Oh, yeah.
They had no money. It was a joke. But what Billy Beane did was incredible, you know? So everybody in America rallied around that team because they were like this blue-collar story, these not-that-great players. They were just scraggle muffins put together, and they went out there and won, you know? So that's the type of stuff America is very good at picking up on, that type of stuff. And when they see teams like the Yankees, who does most Americans love? Derek Jeter, you know why? And I do too, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I hate the Yankees. I'm a diehard Red Sox, but I know good sports, and you know how I am as a fan. I'll root for someone that's amazing. Derek Jeter is Pete Rose's, like, you know, our present Pete Rose. I really believe that. He loves the game, man. He's out there before the game's chopping it up. You know, he plays pepper still. I mean, that's cool to see. You don't see that. These guys don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
They're all about themselves and in money and It's garbage. It's garbage.
You know, I've been running a couple things across my mind on what baseball could try to do to possibly somehow, you know, salvage fan base. Obviously, you know, they don't want steroids in the league. They don't want their players taking steroids. You know, I don't blame them. There's nothing really, you know, from a league thing, you don't want everybody taking steroids.
Right.
But from an excitement point, you know, it produced somewhere. You know, maybe they need to bring the fences in to, like, or something. I don't know. Juice the balls. Do something. They need to add some excitement back into baseball. They need to do something, and they need to make some kind of a drastic change. You know,
to make it
more exciting. You know,
their marketing's terrible. They put
market. I mean,
like the Baseball Tonight and stuff. It's terrible. Nobody wants to see John Kruk. He's boring as hell. No offense to John Kruk or anything, but he is. I mean, it's like, get some exciting players up there to talk about sports.
And
gosh, man.
You know what the other problem is? You're talking about exciting players. Think about, I mean, honestly, who's like a huge marketable superstar that is even in MLB, Major League Baseball right now? There's not any just like ridiculous. No. There's not any more Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr.'s. Like who? Like if you think baseball right now, like, and the one player comes off your head. I couldn't just think of one player that everybody like across America would be like, he's automatically like the biggest name in baseball right now. Who is it?
Nobody.
Was Alex Rodriguez, but not anymore.
No.
I mean, maybe somebody like Derek Jeter, but
yeah,
you know, he's
probably
about done too. I mean,
he's the guy's. That guy's probably the last. To me, he's the last real blue-collar baseball player in America.
Maybe in 2 or 3 years, it'll be something like Mike Trout if he really becomes as good as he was last year. I mean, his last year.
I'm not sold.
But, you know, I mean, obviously you can't start making a guy that's...
No, I'm not sold. A lot of guys have done that.
And, you know, you can't make a guy that has played 1 year in Major League Baseball the face of your league. You know, I mean, I guess you could have guys like Ryan Braun.
Josh Hamilton, I love, and his story was cool. And then he went ultra crazy guy religious.
Yeah, you know,
and I know it helps him through his rehab or whatnot, and I know he's relapsed. But it's hard for Americans to root for drug addicts.
Yeah, you know, it is.
Realistically, it is.
You know, the other, you know, big player, Miguel Cabrera, but, you know, the guy doesn't even speak English. How can he market a guy that doesn't speak English?
It's so bad. His triple crown got destroyed because he's not marketable.
They can't interview him. They can't bring him on. You know, they can't bring him, like, on SportsCenter.
He's not even on an Old Spice commercial or anything. He's got nothing.
Well, he does, you know, and then the offseason he just gets drunk and passes out in cars or something.
He's got nothing. You're right. He's got nothing to show for. He won the triple
and
crown.
I forgot. Till just now. It just happened to pop in my head. I mean, I basically forgot. He was the first time that anybody won a triple crown since 1967, I think.
I know.
Yes. Won it for Boston. I mean, it was probably, you know, that's like the greatest single accomplishment you could probably have as a hitter in baseball.
It really
almost went unrecognized.
That's the greatest accomplishment that we've seen in our lives.
And it's almost went unrecognized.
I know. And he hasn't done a commercial. He hasn't done an ad. He hasn't done nothing.
You know, and part of it is baseball doesn't market. The other part of it is you had the best player in baseball last year who doesn't speak English.
They almost robbed him of everything. I mean, he should have been an automatic MVP.
I know, they tried to give it to Mike Trout. They tried to throw him.
Unbelievable. He won the triple crown. It's like, it's bad.
This is something that somebody they were saying would never be done again. Like you would, every year they were saying nobody will ever win the triple crown again. And it's too hot in this era.
And
you know, during the steroid era, the biggest problem was is you had those guys who hit 250
and
they hit 50 home runs.
70 home runs.
Guys who actually hit 340, they weren't going to hit that many home runs. But you know, he's ridiculous.
Done,
but it's sad. Like probably the best player in baseball, as far as at least hitting wise, I don't want to say the best overall around player because he's not a good fielder. He's not good in the field, but
that's another thing. Fielding in baseball, it's like
and that's the other
tremendous
thing. You know, the other problem with baseball is they play, You know, they play so many games.
Oh, it's so absurd.
You know, you can't keep up with your team. Interleague plays garbage. I don't know why they do interleague.
182 games?
Well, 162.
Or 162,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Interleague plays
162 games. It's totally ridiculous.
And then the league's not even standardized. So if you're not if you're a casual fan, you got to realize that the National League plays the different rules than the American League. Like,
I know.
They don't even have standardized. The league's not even standardized. The one league you have a pitcher who hits, the other league you have a DH. It's like they should just go all DH. I really think they should.
Absolutely.
Everybody think, you know, you get these crazy like 70-year-old people who are like, I'm a true baseball fan, you should have the pitcher hit. Yeah. Da, 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 da. Really? Well, that's why. That's why baseball.
When I was in Little League in 1952, we used to the pitchers. I was a pitcher and I used to hit. I was the best hitter on my team. Yeah, you're in Little League, bro. Like, are you kidding me? Like, these guys just don't get it, man. Like, Major League Baseball pitchers have way too much going on. They have to practice pitching.
They don't hit. They can't bunt.
They are awful. It's so embarrassing. Have you ever seen Timmy Lincecum hit? Oh, my goodness. That's the most embarrassing, worst thing ever.
There's a handful of pitchers in the league who can hit. And, you know, but the thing is, the National League basically has 8 hitters and a strikeout.
Yeah. I mean, watching someone like Lincecum go up with a bat is awful. He looks like Shaggy on Scooby-Doo. Yeah. They gave him a bat.
Randy Johnson was another one. Just disgusting.
He was awful. He was awful.
You know, there's a few others that are just, they just go up there and it's like, you know, you might as well just throw three. You could throw three.
You know what? You know what's awful about it? I'll tell you what else is awful about what they do in the National League. The no DH rule. So you got a pitcher that comes in, he's red hot. You're in the ninth, the bottom of the ninth inning or whatever, top of the ninth, and you still got to go out in the bottom, and you got to sub him out. You got to take your pitcher out. You got to pinch hit for him.
You know, and that's the other thing that your grandpa will defend about the National League. Oh, there's so much strategy. That's what I'm saying. Strategy by,
small,
you know,
ball.
Saying,
that's what they always say, small ball.
Small ball or, you know, the strategy of, do you pinch hit for your pitcher? Do you leave him in? They say it's the real baseball game. It's the way baseball's supposed to be played. Really? How about we just put a DH up there so we can actually watch somebody try to hit the freaking ball who might actually make contact.
Hit the ball instead of bunting every time. Small ball sucks ball. That's terrible. Small ball's off.
Baseball game. I sure the hell don't.
Small ball is like saying, like, we're not good enough to really beat you, so we're going to bunt. Seriously, tell me it's not true. A squeeze play. What is this, 1950s? Come on, man. Like, these guys get paid millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to hit home runs. I want to see damn home runs. So
give them back the needle, man.
Baseball. Hook them up to the drip bag.
You know, and the other thing, you know, the steroid era. Oh, you know, the steroid era is just. That's the other thing I think that's turning people off
of
baseball.
You
know, everybody's getting turned off by baseball because you have all these big names who are all lying about taking steroids, lying and lying. Everybody's just sick of hearing about Roger Clemens and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and all these guys who swear on their wife and their mother and their brother and their dog and their house and whoever else that they didn't juice.
I'm kind of glad Roger Clemens got out of that thing and won his case, at least.
I mean, if anybody really believes he didn't take steroids, like...
I know, but it doesn't matter. I mean, he still got out of that, and I'm glad he stuck up for himself. I don't know, man. And then they shunned him anyways from the Hall of Fame. Unbelievable, right?
Oh, I mean,
he wins the case, gets the charges dropped, they dismiss everything, throw it out, and what happens? Baseball says, well, we don't believe him still because our people said, are you crazy? That guy, like, made you hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars for 20 years.
He was on the ballot this year, right?
Yes, and he got shunned. He got 30%.
Yeah, and he 30%. He's probably
30-something percent.
He's probably arguably the greatest pitcher ever to pitch.
Or actually, it might have been even lower. It might have been more like a 12% or so.
You know, and I think you know he's probably in this ballot we had arguably the greatest hitter of all time and arguably the greatest pitcher of all time.
Unbelievable.
And I think Barry Bonds may have gotten closer to 35%.
Yeah.
And
I think they were both 30-something percent.
And he's probably the greatest hitter to ever play.
I'll tell you one thing. I don't care what anybody says. You know, they ruined their own bodies if they did the steroids, but they did it for a great cause because I remember sitting up when he was about to break the record, and it was, oh, man, I don't know how many – I didn't like the Giants at all. I was on the East Coast, and I could care less about the Giants, but I remember waiting for this guy to do it, you know? It was unbelievable. I mean, wasn't it? It was just
you know what that makes me think about is I'd be watching SportsCenter and every Barry Bonds at bat they break into.
Yeah, yeah. Remember that they used to break into every.
You know what makes me think about the fact that they used to break into all his at bats for when he was hitting those home runs. I cannot remember the last time that ESPN ever broke into a baseball game again. Lately, I can't remember.
Oh no, there's no reason to.
I mean, even when there was somebody who was getting close to, even Jim Thome, I think he hit 600 home runs last year. They didn't even break in for him. It's like nobody cares anymore.
Yeah, it's just changed, man, and you know, baseball's that crappy museum of like crappy antiques or something that it's cool to bring your girlfriend there once to show her. But you never want to go again. You really don't even have that great of a time, and you just don't want to go again because it's so boring.
You know, the one thing I do want to see, and I think out of all the Hall of Fames, I really want to see Coopertown the most, just because there's so much history with. That's the one thing baseball has going for it.
It's pretty
compared
incredible.
To any other. What's that?
I've been there a couple of times. It's pretty incredible.
That's about the only thing I think baseball has going for it over any other sport is its history. Baseball's history is obviously probably way deeper and more rich than any other sport that they play in the United States. But that's about all they got going for them now. It's like, really? Like, okay, we can talk about how good Babe Ruth was in 1927, but there's who cares how good, you know, the whoever is this year. It's like people would almost rather talk about the past than baseball. It's a historian thing. Baseball's literally lives off of its past. It really does.
Absolutely, it's never evolving. It's never gonna. So anyway, so back to hockey. Let's jump.
Yeah, we never even
jump. No, it's cool. That was a good topic. Good. We had a good little run with that baseball stuff. There'll be way more to come on that. It's just upsetting how bad it got. Hockey, though, I mean, marketability and they're in the wrong places. I mean, they have the players. They do. They have the players and the talent. Hockey is amazing to watch live. I mean, it just is.
Yeah, we talked about this. Before.
See what these guys do. If you go to an AHL game one night and then you go to an NHL game, you know they're both great. You know, they're all great players. Even in AHL, they're amazing.
Yeah.
But when you go to the NHL game, it's unbelievable how good these guys are. I mean, if you've ever been on skates with a stick and tried to play hockey, I mean, I played hockey for years. And then you go on and you watch these guys, the passing. It's just TV just can't capture what they do.
No, and like I was, you know, there's a in order to enjoy hockey on TV, there's a few teams, and they have to play fast. You know, I've been watching hockey like crazy since it started with my you know I had the hockey package, that free trial of it,
right.
And there's a couple teams that just play really fast. I can only imagine what it's like live, because I watched like Carolina. I don't know what it is about Carolina.
Fast.
They play a fast pace game. It's even exciting. Like, it was actually pretty exciting to watch them play on TV. That's the kind of pace they played at. And
yeah.
I can only imagine what it's like to go to a game. I've actually never been to a NHL game. I've only been
you're going
to
lose your mind.
I've only been to like semi-pro, like AHL or whatever it is.
I'll tell you so. The last
and those
game,
are exciting. So
the last game that I did go to, NHL game, the Bruins game, of course. Me and my brother, and they were playing like the Minnesota Wild. You know, not a game that meant anything. You know, the Bruins were pretty incredible. But it was a great game because the Wild came to play that night. They were real fast. Anyway, so we had great seats. It was a last-minute, spur-of-the-moment thing. I called my brother. I was on vacation. I said, hey, hurry up, get out of work. We're going to go into Boston tonight. And then we ended up walking by the garden, and we just got tickets. Amazing seats, you know, not right on the ice, but a perfect view. Unbelievable. I'm telling you right now, I was talking to Felicia earlier about this. We didn't talk. We still joke about this game. We didn't talk that whole game, me and him. It was like, oh, yeah. It was like crazy, but neither one of us was like, hey, man, did you see? It was like we were in the zone. We were even ordering, like, beers, you know? But we were so in the zone. Every hockey game I've been to, it's kind of like that. Like, you're in the zone for some reason. When you're there and it's got that crisp air, it just is so – it's a more comfortable environment. It's real blue collar. And it's just really a comfortable place. And just something about it. It's just a different vibe.
Yeah.
Like, it's not stuffy. It's – I don't know.
The good thing about hockey, and especially I can imagine live, is there's very few breaks.
Yeah.
The puck is always moving. Like, you know, there'll be an offsides and they'll set it back up, or there'll be a penalty and they set it back up. But 95% of the time, when they're in the period, the puck is always being moved. It's never just – it's not like football. Even football, you know, we were talking about football is actually a terrible sport to watch live. Especially because of TV now, there's so many timeouts.
Tailgating is amazing, but me and Saul are talking about actually being watching
at
the
game because there's so many breaks. It's always
breaks. You're so far away.
The complete opposite.
Yeah.
The puck is always moving. You know, somebody's always has the puck. It's always they're moving up and down the ice. They play so fast. Those guys they're so fast on skates. It's
unbelievable.
Ridiculous. And it's such a fast pace, which is why it's so great to watch live, because there's always something going on. There's always action. You know, somebody's getting hit. Somebody's getting pushed into the boards. There's a fight. There's a penalty. There's, you know, and then when you get power plays, you know, it's even more exciting. You know, it's just – it's a great sport to watch because it's nonstop. There's very little dead time.
Hockey rivalries. What's great about the NHL, what they do so good and – and once again, I feel like their marketing is just way off. They just don't know what to do. They don't know how to market it. But I'll tell you how right now. Their rivalries are awesome. These players, the difference between hockey and football and baseball, you see the football players, they shake each other's hands at the end of the game and all that stuff. Hockey has, like, intense rivalries where these guys really hate each other. Like, they're mad. Like, they're out there and they're pissed at each other. Like, it's not the show, like, I'm going to rock your world this play and then be like, hey, man, you all right? Those guys are not out there to do that, man. They are out there to do damage to each other. They take it seriously. I've heard many interviews, especially with Bruins players. They protect the city. That's what they really believe. Like, they believe in – they take on the pride of the city they represent. And it's such a big deal to these guys. Like, it's unbelievable how serious the rivalries. And then the playoff games, you just can't beat that. It's so much action.
I mean,
these guys kill each other out there.
Yeah, you know, that's how it is. You know, these teams take it serious. You know, and you always have a couple enforcers on every team.
Yeah.
At least one. And you always love it. There's always, and usually in a rival game, if the enforcers have been on that team in a while, they fight every game. Like,
every time
these teams play each other, they fight.
Yep.
And,
every game.
You know, so that's always exciting. You know, you get the enforcers out there, they get a little battle. And, you know, and one thing I want to say, you know, kind of about how you're saying with how basically, you know, they don't really just shake hands at the end of the game. I can't even pronounce the guy's name. He's a rookie. He plays for the Oilers. We were talking about it this morning, and it's like Yakupov. All these guys are from, like, Russia or whatever. I can't even say their names.
Yeah.
But he's a rookie. I know you know what I'm talking about. He made the game-winning goal in overtime for Edmonton.
Right.
And at the end of the game, he's like, they're in Phoenix. And Phoenix, I mean, that's a terrible place for a hockey team. But what I'm getting at is he's like, you know, he's like waving his hands, you know, at himself. Like, oh, you know, come like celebrate on me, you know, waving his team over to come celebrate.
Yeah.
And, dude, there's seven Phoenix Coyotes ready to beat this guy's brains out because he's basically showboating on their ice in front of everybody. You don't see that in other sports.
No.
Like, you just don't do that. I mean, You know, you'll see an offensive lineman stick up for his quarterback or whatever a little bit in the NFL, but you just don't see seven guys from the other team ready to beat this guy's brains out because he's basically showing them up on their home ice.
I mean, same thing. You get venues like in Vancouver, the Green Men, where they dress in all green. And if
are
you
they
go to
still
the
doing that this year?
Yeah, if you go to the penalty box, they, like, harass you. The fans do. The fans, like, attack the players.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, you can't have that. Like, you would never have that in football. They'd call security and have you arrested. I mean, and it's great, man. It's a better sport than – it's unfortunate that they've had so many strikes and restructured the league and made – I think they've made just so many – As a league management, not just the teams, but as a league as a whole, the NHL is a disaster. They've pissed away everything. They've just really made so many mistakes. It's amazing we're talking about them.
What was the year of the strike? Early 2000s, late 1990s?
Yeah, just destroyed hockey.
That's what destroyed hockey because –
awful.
I remember even when I was in high school and high school, junior high, late 90s, early 2000s, right. And I remember, there actually was hockey on ESPN.
Oh yeah.
And the thing was is after that strike, they took the year off. ESPN basically controls the sports world.
Right.
And they don't show hockey.
I'll tell you what happened.
I have SportsCenter on my TV right now. They don't even show hockey.
I'm going to tell you what happened. They screwed ESPN by that strike. Mm-hmm. And ESPN they will never trust. It's going to be very hard for that. It's going to take something miraculous for them to ever trust hockey again.
Just think about it. They had a strike then they had the lockout, three, 4 years ago where they missed the whole season. And then now they missed half this year. Hockey's had the most work stoppages out of any league. It's ridiculous. They can't keep – and that's what kills the hockey. Marketability, like you said, they have a lot of teams where they shouldn't.
Phoenix needs to go.
Phoenix, Carolina, Florida.
They need to move all these southern teams below Carolina, I think, on that level. Because I think what's Carolina's about – laterally about this, it's like parallel to LA, right? Would it be about the same somewhere in there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, maybe
parallel wise.
Yeah.
They gotta be close. But anything below those two cities, that's south of that. Are you kidding me? Those people don't play. They're not gonna be into hockey. My goodness, Greg. You think the Phoenix Coyotes? They remember when the league took over because Gretzky folded or whatever. And the league tried to step in. They were playing amazing, and nobody was even going to the games.
That's the thing. Just a couple years ago, Atlanta Thrashers had a pretty good team.
Yeah.
They couldn't give away tickets to those games. It's like, the only –
Atlanta. Atlanta's a ghetto city. Like, not the whole city's ghetto. It's starting to – it's becoming like a boom city.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, let's face it. I'll say it on the show. It's a black city.
It is.
Right? It is. I mean, it's
and,
I don't think anyone would be mad at me for saying that. It really is.
And you know how many – I'm pretty sure I can count the black players in the NHL on one hand.
By
and
one.
Still have fingers to stick up. Like,
yeah.
I mean
– it's just not something black people are interested in as hockey. Let's face it. Get your demographics.
And that's the thing. Americans outside, I know where you're from, hockey's huge.
Big.
I grew up in Idaho. There's snow.
Ice. It would be big up there.
What I'm saying is it's cold, it's snow, there's ice. Hockey, nothing. Nobody plays hockey up there. It's an East Coast Canadian sport. And... that's what I'm saying. Even where I'm at, Washington, Idaho, Montana, they don't play hockey there. And there's snow, it's cold,
But the thing is this. I do believe this. What's your biggest city in Idaho?
Boise. I don't know.
Populated? What's Boise's population?
Boise's probably 250,000, 300,000.
I mean, but what I'm saying is if they had their own venue, their own team that they – like, I'm talking NHL. When you get a minor league team, it's just not the same. So you get an NHL franchise in that city, okay? Dude, I see how you guys are with the dang Boise State Broncos. They're crazy. Yeah. If you guys get your own Boise Broncos hockey NHL team, and then they add one in Seattle, and then they add one in Portland, dude, UW and Portland State are amazing at hockey, you know.
Yeah.
They're really good hockey programs.
I know.
If you got those three places together and then combine them with, like, Vancouver and all that, it's going to be – I'm telling – I know how you guys are fans-wise. It would be some intense rivalries.
Yeah, I know they're actually working hard. You know, Seattle's actually trying to get that new arena built. They're trying to bring back an NBA team, and they're also trying to bring an NHL.
I hope they get a hockey team.
They're trying to bring an NHL team actually up there. There was talks. I mean, the Phoenix Coyotes are actually – I think they're going to be sold pretty soon to somebody, whatever happens. They're actually there's been multiple rumors, not really recently, but in the past, about Seattle actually getting an NBA and a NHL team, and the Phoenix Coyotes have been one of the teams that have been discussed multiple times. And the good thing about Seattle is, you know, is it can create a natural rivalry with Vancouver. Vancouver's just across the border in Canada,
absolutely.
Right?
So here's my other thing. They're talking about two other teams, one going to Quebec City, and another, they're talking about expansion teams, not moving teams, expansion teams, two more to make it 32 teams.
Right.
But Quebec City and then another team in Toronto? I didn't know Toronto's that big, for one. I guess apparently it's humongous. But two teams in Toronto, that sounds awful.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know about Quebec. I know they had a team in, you know, Montreal's in Quebec, actually.
Yeah, I know.
But I know Canada, you know, the whole
here we
thing,
go with the East Coast, though. It's going to be two more East Coast teams. Where,
I know, and the thing is there's already teams on the East Coast. Like
that
the
play on the West.
The Detroit Red Wings play on the West Coast. They
play
which in
is
West
terrible.
Conference. And I know the Detroit fans, the Detroit players, they all complain about it because Detroit, first of all, they have to come out to, like, Anaheim, L.A., you know, Vancouver. It's far travel. Then on top of that, their fans complain they can't watch the games.
Yep.
The puck doesn't get dropped till 10 p.m. in Detroit. And when you're playing, that's your conference. They play a lot of games on the West Coast.
And Detroit's unbelievable market.
USA.
I mean, it's hockey,
like,
town USA.
You know,
I mean, that's where you got to do whatever you need to do to bend over backwards for those fans.
And that's the thing. So if you're already having you know, fan bases complain about what conference they're in because they're really they really should be in the Eastern Conference and they're not. And then you're going to go and add another team in Toronto and a team in Quebec City. Those really need to be on the Eastern Conference too. And it's like, what are you going to do? Just, you know,
they really needed. I'm going to tell you something. So California screws a lot of stuff up in the whole sports world. California being as big as it is, state-wise, it just screws up a lot of stuff because it makes it where, I mean, how many teams are you really going to stick in California? It's pretty much the whole size of the whole Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah.
The one state is. So it's like, how many damn teams can you stick in one state? So it's just, I feel like they just screw everything up by the way they do it. They have, you know, quite a few teams. But yeah, there's other places to put them. Boise would be a destination. I'm honest. I'll tell you. Boise would be a destination I would be willing. The NHL has to take risks on where to put.
This
is what creates and promotes your sport.
Yeah. Why can't they put a, you know, they should put a, you know, put a team in like Madison, Wisconsin, you know.
There you go.
I mean, I know that's a huge college town for, you know, the Badgers, but – dude, I mean, that's a big hockey market. Wisconsin's a pretty big hockey market.
Wisconsin's a great hockey program again.
You know, I mean, I know, what about, you know, I know they took the Whalers away from Connecticut. You know, that's kind of
unfortunate. That's a travesty right there. That should be the first place they put another team. That should be one of the first places. Hartford, they should bring back the Hartford Whalers. They were a classic team. That was a cool team. I think so. I mean, they were one of our rivals, but that was a great venue. It's a big market. They had a lot of fans.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could even see some of these, you know, adding a second team on some of these things. But then again, we're all East Coast again. You know, that's the thing. Hockey is.
Well, I'm surprised they haven't added something like. Honestly, I'm shocked they haven't added sticking on the East Coast area. I'm shocked they haven't added one to like Maine. They all
no,
root for the Bruins now because
that,
they have to. But you know, Maine's diehard hockey fans.
I mean, everything in the Northeast up there is. It's like hockey's like the number one sport up there almost.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It is. Once you get into New Hampshire, it is the number one sport.
You know, I don't know exactly what it was, but, you know, the NHL was really trying to move a lot of teams out of Canada. I mean, I know it's a U.S.-based league, NHL, National Hockey League, and I don't know if they were really trying to market more in the United States rather than Canada. It seemed like they brought, you know, they were really trying to bring a lot of the teams out of Canada and make it more of a U.S.-based league, but the problem is, you know, Canada, it's their number one sport in Canada is hockey. Hockey's
oh,
like
hands football. Down. I mean, that
I
is
mean,
their sport.
What we watch, how we are in football, that's how they are in hockey in Canada.
That's their thing. The Canadians are pissed about the Super Bowl. I don't know if you've seen that recently. They're all protesting. They're all pissed off because it, you know, their TV covers our Super Bowl, so it takes up their whole TVs. Like, they have to watch. A lot of Canadians that live, like, you know, way out, they don't have, like, they're not, like, crazy about their cable as much. From what I understand from the conversation that was on, I forget what website I was reading on, like, Yahoo or something like that. But anyways, they had interviewed a couple different families, and they're ticked off, and they're trying to fight against the cable companies up there to not air the Super Bowl.
I don't blame them. I mean, I don't want to watch, you know, I'm
going
to
be honest.
I don't
watch the Grey Cup.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't want to watch, you know, the Canadian Football League, the Grey Cup on Thanksgiving or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it Thanksgiving? I think it is Thanksgiving.
Something like that. I don't know.
They're not going to make me watch it. I mean, I'm sure I could find it if I want to on TV somewhere, but I don't want to watch it. And
yeah.
They're the same way, they don't probably want to watch the Super Bowl.
No, and I don't blame any of them for not wanting to watch it. I think that we do need to market. Canada needs teams, but they need to spread it out the right way. I mean, the Canadian Football League spread out really good. Why can't they spread out the hockey league like
can't
that?
A hockey team in like British Columbia, you know, they got other provinces. They got other provinces they can stick them in.
Oh yeah, they got Newfoundland. They got all kinds of places to go.
Rather than just sticking them all in like Toronto, Quebec, you know.
Canada's huge, dude.
I know it's huge, but I think the biggest thing with Canada is finding. It's as big as Canada is. Its population is actually a lot smaller for its size. I mean,
I think that was
one of the biggest reasons why they actually took some of the teams from Canada was just the fact that the population, they were hoping to bring these teams down to bigger cities in the United States and probably build revenue off of ticket sales, being able to get maybe more ticket sales or something. I think that might have been kind of the reason for bringing it down. I don't know for sure.
Well, it just isn't working right. Teams like the Florida Panthers and things like that. It's just, I mean, I just don't see how you're going to, I don't see how you're going to try to make people have a culture that they can't go on a pond and go ice skating. They don't understand ice hockey. You can't make people. It's just a novelty act for them. It's like when the circus comes to town. So everyone goes like once a year, you know what I mean? For shits and gigs.
If you go to, you got teams like Dallas, Phoenix,
right.
Florida, there's probably a chance that, you know, 95% of the state has never played hockey in their life.
No, never held a stick, don't know anything about it, don't even know what the rules are. They're just like, what is going on right now?
yet there's professional teams there.
I bet you there's a whole bunch of people in Florida that don't even know they have a couple NHL teams in Florida.
You know what I don't get? Florida has to be the worst professional sports state
ever.
In the United States. They don't support their baseball teams. If you turn on a Tampa Bay Rays game or a Florida Marlins game, there'll be 2,000 people in these stadiums.
I know, it's a joke.
And the thing is the Tampa Bay's been good for, 4, 5, 6, 7 years now. They won the division. They won the AL East, which is the best, probably the best division in baseball. It's like basically winning the best league and the best division. And they couldn't even sell, 4,000 or 5,000 tickets. And they were the best team in the best division in baseball.
They had to beg people to come to the playoffs. It was crazy.
The Marlins just had that new stadium put in. They spent all that money last offseason on bringing in players to try to sell seats. Then they go on a fire sale, dump all their players.
They had to.
And now everybody in the city's pissed because the team has a $16 or $20 million payroll. And they just spent and the taxpayers just spent all this money on a new stadium. So
they're idiots. They didn't support their team.
I'm not saying they're not idiots, but I'm just saying Florida is a joke for supporting any.
Florida seems like it would be the last place on earth that would not be supporting their baseball teams because of, I'm not trying to sound racial or anything, but let's face it, the Hispanics on the East Coast there, Puerto Rico, Cuba, Dominican Republic, they all live in Florida.
And
so baseball's
like that, the number one sport.
Absolutely.
But you know what? I think the thing is with Florida, I don't know, a lot of these, Dominican Republic, Cubans and maybe not so much Puerto Ricans, but
yeah.
Cubans, they come, they come over with nothing. I don't even know if they have money to go to a game. That's, when it comes to that.
No, that's true.
And then the other thing with Florida, is Florida's a lot kind of like L.A. out here. You have a bunch of people. I think Florida, even worse than here, is a bunch of 70-year-old people.
Yeah,
a bunch of 70-year-old people who are old now, and they migrated to where it's warm.
Well, aren't they the ones that are bitching about steroids? So maybe they should go to the games. There's no steroids anymore.
I don't know. They got, stadiums don't have very good walker access, so maybe that's the problem.
Maybe they should buy those expensive tickets because I can't afford them. I mean, shoot, to watch a baseball game in the front rows is outrageous.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
You're
unbelievable. Football's gotten out of control. Football, that's expected. I mean,
it's funny, though, because the more and more, I've never been to an NFL game, and I really want to go.
You've never seen your Seahawks play live?
I've never seen any NFL game live.
Oh, you gotta go.
So I want to go to San Francisco and catch a Niners Hawks game one of these years. But
oh, absolutely,
I'd love
dude.
To go to Seattle and actually watch it there because that's like the best
stadiums. Seattle.
That's probably one of the best stadiums to watch a game with how loud it is.
Absolutely.
But I find it hard justify paying that much money because I've watched college games live. I've watched a lot of football live, just never NFL. And it's better on TV. And it's way cheaper for me to watch it on TV. I can sit here. I can drink. I can go buy a case of beer for the cost of two beers at the game. I can sit here. I can have my beer and my whatever I barbecue or whatever I want to snack on. I can sit on my couch and spend a lot less money. And it's probably
It's nice to be part of something big. I've been to a couple huge Patriots games. Because I used to go quite a bit. I've been to a lot of Patriots games. So anyway, but especially when they were bad. But, you're right. I mean, there's just too many commercial breaks. After you've been a few times, it loses its luster real quick. Tailgating's really fun. It is a blast. But it's something that I only want to go to one game a year. One Patriots live game a year. Even if I had season tickets, I would sell every other game, but just go to one game. I'd pick one game a year. Go to that game, tailgate, have a great time, be part of something big, but you can't NFL's total TV.
It's
a man opera.
That is the one thing I do want to go to a game for, because I want to actually experience like the tailgating. I want
to
experience the stadium.
You
got to
go to Seattle,
take it all
man.
In.
You got to be part of that like that 12th man. You got to be part of that 12th man and that whole.
I'm gonna have to plan that. Maybe that'll be our next vacation. We'll hit up
Seattle.
Yeah,
you need to do that, man. That's a big deal.
You know, I want to get up there, but you know, I know we kind of got off topic.
No, it's cool. It doesn't matter. This is a freelance show.
You know, but you know, that's the thing. And with HD now, it's like you're watching the game on the field. It's
unreal. The replays.
You can
get that at the stadium.
Yeah, the replay, and that's the other thing. You know.
Yeah.
The games are getting. That's the other problem with watching it live. Now you have all these instant replays. They review every touchdown. You know, there's all these challenges that are reviewed. Anything under 2 minutes is automatically reviewed. Like, there's so much review now, so much instant replay, man, that just slows the game. And you can't, I don't think I've ever seen an NFL game finish under 3 hours. They're all 3.5 to 4 hours.
Well, you know, it's just too – it is, it's long. And I'll tell you another thing that kills you at the NFL. Unlike, like, the college games, you tailgate, you get hammered. The games usually go pretty smooth, and they're pretty fast games.
Yeah.
The NFL games are, what you just said, they're super long. So, you know, you're getting beer in the stadium, but it's, you know, they always like, especially at Pats games, I mean, they serve you Sammy Adams. So if you're, I'm usually in the parking lot smashing Coors Light or something, you know what I mean? Then I go in and you're switching to a Sammy Adams, and it just knocks you off your rocker, man. It's just. You know what I mean? It usually ends up putting me to sleep. So, you know, I've just stuck to tailgating and go in. But the games they're just so. That's the thing about live. It's so long, but it's something you have to do. It's just I love being part of something that's bigger than my life. You know what I mean? And being part of a crowd and you know, just blending in and just having a great time and cheering the team on, especially you know when they win. It's just it's awesome, man. So it's definitely, you got to get out. You got to definitely do that. You need to do that next season, especially where they're going to be good.
I know. Get up there and hit a Russell Wilson and Lynch.
We got to hit up a hockey game at least hit up a hockey game this year. So
yeah, I'm probably going to hit up a Ducks game or something.
Just too bad. Wish the Bruins were coming to town.
Yeah, with that shortened season, they're basically playing their division games over and over. They're playing if you look at the schedules, they just play the same teams over and over again.
They play the Devils every other night. what are you going to do, though?
They play home and homes. Like, they play one team at their stadium, their place, and then the next day they play the next, you know, back in their place. It's, you know, this – you know, that's what's killed the NHL. I mean, look how long have you even looked back at baseball, and baseball had the strike in 94. It took them a long time. It took till the steroid era, basically, till 98 when McGuire and Sosa went on their home run bash, you know, the 66 runs where, you know, Sosa hit, you know, 20 in the month of June, and McGuire, you know, hit 66. It took till that year for baseball really to come back. And that's what the problem with hockey, you know, almost more than anything.
Yeah.
They have so many work stoppages.
Yeah, they can't create a
fan base. People just look at it as like these guys, you know, and it's even with the NFL, and you know, we don't know what everything that goes on with the league, but it's like you have million people making millions of dollars fighting over millions of dollars. It's like, how much money do you really need? How much more do you need? And that's how it looks at it from us, you know, the little people in the country, you know. It's just like, what are you guys fighting over? I mean, how much more money do you really need, you know?
Oh yeah, it's crazy. What do you think about what this off season is going to be crazy in the NFL, man? There's quite a few free agents, and I'll tell you, man, I don't think the Pats are bringing Wes Welker back.
Oh, that's going to be.
I don't think they're going to bring him back. I think they're going to go after Dwayne Bowe and a couple big targets like that. I think they're going to go after a couple different type of receivers to stretch the field now. They haven't had it.
If you're gonna spend, you're gonna get Dwayne Bowe for probably the same price as what Wes Welker wants.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
And it's like, I mean, as good as Wes Welker is, the last 2 years he's really hurt you guys in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's dropped some huge.
I mean, it's good. Ben, you know, catching
hit him right off the chest, man. There was no excuse.
You know, as good as he's been for the Patriots, and, you know, he's one of your, you know, he's going to go down in this era as one of the best players on your guys' team. He's the reason why you guys have been so good, one of the main reasons.
Yeah,
but
I agree with you.
At the same time, just these last 2 years, he's cost you guys. And the other thing is, like, what do you want to spend your money on? Do you want to spend $10 million a year on Wes Welker, or do you want to spend $10 million a year on, like, Dwayne Bowe? I mean, I'd want to spend it on Dwayne Bowe, personally. He's a lot younger. He's ridiculous, dude. Can you imagine him with on a good team?
Oh, he'd be unbelievable. Oh, that's cool. Apparently, they like to put in ads on this thing. But they'd be unreal, dude. Dwayne Bowe would be unbelievable with the Pats, and who knows about this? Who knows about this Ed Reed thing? That got out of control, I think. But and Gronkowski, he's gonna stay healthy, man.
Yeah, that's always the problem with Ed Reed is when he's on the field, he's amazing, but he's going to miss, like, he misses, like, 4 or 5 games every year. You know,
it's killing us.
What's that?
He's killing us.
He never plays 16 games a year.
We have so many guys that we have to re-sign. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Atlanta's
got a huge offseason coming up. Aqib Talib, they're going to have to make a decision on him. There's just... I would say they're bringing him back. I would hope they would. I mean, he was pretty incredible for us.
Yeah, I haven't looked a whole lot as far as what the Seahawks have. I think most of their players are pretty much locked down. You know, they're pretty young. Most of the guys are under contract.
We get a lot of guys leaving. The Pats do. It's pretty unbelievable how many are going.
There's a couple big names. You know, they're saying Flacco's gonna be a free agent.
Yeah.
He wants Drew Brees type money, like this guy wants, like,
Brees,
Peyton Manning, like Eli, you know, Tom Brady money. It's like, really? I mean, I guess it's hard to say. I mean, I understand why somebody would pay off for him. He's won a lot of games. It's hard to argue against him.
And well, you got free agents like Mike Wallace, Dwayne Bowe, Greg Jennings. Greg Jennings getting older.
He'll still go. He's still pretty good. His injuries, you know, that's the thing with him. He's hurt a lot now too, and you know he missed a lot of games this year with injuries, and he seems to miss, you know, a few games every year with injuries. The Packers are going to let him go. They don't need him. You know, they got so many wide receivers there right now. There's no reason for them to re-sign him. And then who else? You know,
I'll tell you what. Same thing, Danny Woodhead leaving the Pats. I mean, most likely. I mean,
who's going to sign him, though? I mean, really?
They're not gonna keep Danny Woodhead, I doubt.
That's the thing, though. I mean, honestly, is Danny Woodhead's the kind of guy that I really – he's going to have a hard time being good in another team, I think. Belichick knows how to take these guys who didn't work other places – who were, like, you know, undersized or whatever it was, and he finds a way to fit him into a system. I mean, Danny Woodhead was, like, what, a practice squad guy for somebody? The Jets?
Oh, yeah, the Jets.
You know, and Wes Welker was pretty much terrible with the Dolphins.
I mean, Wes Welker just, he didn't have, you know, he just didn't have no one to throw to. He gave us problems. That's why Belichick wanted him. He was a nightmare on the kick coverage. I mean, he was really, up and coming. He wasn't famous or anything, but, you know.
I just don't see where Danny Woodhead was going to go anywhere else and, you know, that really have a good shot of actually getting on the field. I mean, you know, he's been good with you guys, but he plays a specific role for you guys. And, you know, I don't know, man. Belichick is just... We've talked about it. He knows how to work the players he has better than anybody in the league.
It's true.
So
no, he is good. I got a little bit of the list in front of me. So really, all you get is Joe Flacco that's worth anything on the quarterbacks.
Alex Smith's gonna be out there.
Yeah, Alex Smith. That's right. I mean, but really. Then you got running backs, Sean Green, Reggie Bush, Felix Jones, Cedric Benson, Peyton Hillis, Rashard Mendenhall. He's interesting to me. I'm serious. I wouldn't be upset if the Pats tried to pick someone up like him. I know he had a bunch of fumbles, but, I mean, He's been a beast over the years.
Until this season, and I think he tried to rush back from that.
And he wasn't even bad this season. He had that fumble problem for a little while. But other than that, man, when he was in the game, they were a whole different offense.
Yeah, you know, the problem that happened with him is he had the ACL tear. I think he tried to rush back.
Yeah.
You know, and then on top of that, you know, the Steelers, you know, Jonathan Dwyer did pretty good. Redmond did pretty good. And what happened was is he just kind of got stuck in that timeshare there, you know, and he kind of got buried. He had the fumbles, and he had that where he came out and, you know, he had kind of like where he came out and made that public statement about how he thought he should be getting more carries. I think Tomlin just kind of said, I don't really want to deal with you right now, you know. And he kind of just got in Tomlin's doghouse is what happened.
Pretty much. Look at who's – man, the Jets just can't get a break. It just gets worse and worse. Tight ends that are free agents, Tony G, well, yeah. Jared Cook, Dustin Keller, Fred Davis. Dustin Keller is going to leave the Jets. I mean, it's just unbelievable, right? I mean, they just can't – those guys can't catch a break, man.
And
they're going to lose everybody.
You know,
they're going to be the worst team in football.
Revis is going to come – you know, they don't even want to keep Revis because, you know, obviously he wants a lot of money.
Right.
And then they're
offensive lineman, dude, is unbelievable this year. Who's free agents? You got Ryan Clady from Denver.
He's going to re-sign, I think, with them.
Yeah, I would think so. Jake Long from Miami. He's not going back there. There ain't no way.
Yeah,
he ain't going back there.
Andre Smith's a beast for the Bengals too, man.
Then you got Sebastian Vollmer for the Pats, Brandon Albert for Kansas City.
Yeah.
I don't know. These other guys are just so-sos, but I mean those are big talents, man. Offensive linemen, especially the tackle position.
Brian Waters is a free agent for you guys too.
That's right. Yeah, Waters. I'm just looking at some guys that, like, not just age-wise, but actually have some
talent
possible.
Yeah.
Jason Jones for you guys at DT is going to be free agent.
Wait, Freeney's a free agent. I mean,
yep.
He's kind of OC.
Yeah, these
York
guys are old, though.
Bennett,
yeah. He's going to the Jets.
Ray Edwards is kind of old now, too. You know, there's
Urlacher. He won't be back.
It was funny. We were just talking about Urlacher. I was actually with Tim and this other lady who was a Bears fan. Can you really see Urlacher going somewhere else? So I almost see that if they weren't going to re-sign him, I almost think he would retire. Do you really think he would go somewhere else?
What? I can't hear you, babe. I don't know what you're saying.
So, you know, you got Brian Urlacher, Ray Malaluga.
Connor Barwin. Barwin's a good is a good player, man.
Darryl Smith.
I would imagine Barwin, if they can, he'll come back, but
yeah. Philip Wheeler's actually a good tight end for Oakland. I don't know why you'd want to go back to Oakland.
God, there's so many good free agents on DBs, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, there really
is. DBs is unbelievable, dude. Safeties and corners.
Cromartie Tlaib, Sean Golston.
Derek Cox, Kerry Williams, Rogers Cromartie.
Yeah.
Dude, look at these guys. Jarius Bird and Louis Delmas.
Yeah, and Ed Reed, obviously.
Wow. It's unbelievable.
Ron Randley, Pat, you know, Chung. Rondé Barber.
I can promise you one thing. Patrick Chung won't be back as a Patriot. I'll tell you that right now. There's no way. The guy can't even stay healthy. I mean, he blew it bad, man. He's a huge disappointment.
Golston will probably re-sign with the 49ers, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he already re-sign?
You know, I'm not sure. I know he's still on the free agent list here.
I thought they already worked something out. I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe they already took. I think Ed Reed really is going to go to the New England Patriots, most likely. I would imagine. After all the stuff, if they can work something out, I'm sure Ed Reed, I mean, you know, he doesn't need the money. He's in it for the game. And let's face it, Baltimore's going nowhere next year. I mean, they're going to be a disaster if they lose.
Yeah, Flacco. You know, especially if they lose Flacco. But where's Flacco? You really think Flacco's going to leave? I mean, I don't know. I mean, somebody might try to pony up a lot of money, but.
Hey, we got to get rolling.
Yeah.
It's getting late. So All right, man. I'm gonna get rolling. So we'll do this thing for the Super Bowl show coming up. I want to do one again tomorrow night. We'll see where we're at. But I would like to get something together a little bit earlier than this tomorrow because it's already midnight now.
Yep.
So
all right.
We're gonna wrap this sucker up, and you guys tune in tomorrow. Tomorrow night, me and Saul will be back on. So tune in. All right, buddy. Good show, man.
Go.
I'll give you a buzz tomorrow, bud.
All right.
Later, man. Good internet.
Yeah, I know. It's the worst.
Later.
I'm happy. Later.